Let's pray together. God, we do pray that as we open up your word this morning that you would teach us. God, that you would speak through me, whether the words I have prepared or other words that you have prepared. God, you would speak through me and you would teach us all what it means to be one body this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Like Mike said, I think this is really neat. I think that's cool that we're coming together this morning. And I talked to Carter last night. I said, we need to do this more often. We have two separate, you know, Mike kind of said this earlier. We have two separate churches, two separate leaderships, two separate buildings. You have the place that comes together regularly and worships together and goes out and tries to be the hands and feet of Jesus here in the community. And then we have ECC who does the same. And this morning we just come together to acknowledge that apart, we're just two minor pieces of the body of Christ. But coming together this morning, we are uniting as one body. And while we have two different churches with two different meeting places, we can be one here this morning. So, you know, like Carter and I talked about last night, we need to do this maybe a little bit more often than we have. This is kind of neat. I like this. Sometimes we don't do that very well, though. Sometimes we look at other churches and we think, they don't do church like we do church, and so we get the we're right attitude a lot, don't we? We think that we're right because we do church this way, but they don't do church that way. And so we get that little bit of the opposite of unity. We get a little bit of conflict in there. I heard the story of two guys who met on an airplane. And the one guy started the conversation. He said, are you a Christian? So that's how he started the conversation. Are you a Christian? So here's how the conversation went. Are you a Christian? And the other guy says, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, that's awesome. I'm a Christian as well. Are you Protestant or are you Catholic or are you Orthodox? And he said, I'm a Protestant. He said, that's great. I'm a Protestant as well. Are you Calvinist or are you Arminian in your theology? He said, well, I'm a staunch Calvinist. He said, well, that's great. I'm happy to hear that. I am too. But if you don't mind me asking, are you a Calvinistic Baptist or are you a Calvinistic Presbyterian? And he says, I'm a Calvinistic Baptist. What a coincidence. He said, I'm the same. I'm a Calvinistic Baptist too. But are you a Northern Calvinistic Baptist or a Southern Calvinistic Baptist? He said, I'm a Northern Calvinistic Baptist. He said, this is unbelievable. Can I ask you, are you a Northern regular Calvinistic Baptist or a Northern conservative Calvinistic Baptist? He said, I'm a Northern conservative. He said, this is weird because there's 200 of us in the entire world and two of us are right here on this plane. He said, but tell me more, are you a Northern Conservative Calvinistic Baptist Convention of 1844 or of 1868? He says, 1844. This is a miracle, he said. Are you a Northern Conservative Calvinistic Baptist Convention of 1844 King James Version or New International Version? He said, I'm a Northern Conservative Calvinistic Baptist of 1844 New International Version. At that, the other guy, his smile left his face and he turned his head. He said, heathen. We don't do that very well. We find the littlest differences and we make big things out of it. We don't do this type of, if they don't go to this type of church or if they don't go to that type of denomination or if they don't take communion every week or if they don't do this or if they don't do that, then they're wrong. And that's not the case. You know, we sometimes don't even, it's not just lacking unity across the aisle, across different churches. Sometimes we lack unity in our own church buildings. Sometimes we lack unity in our own church. If they, I don't like the sermon, or I don't like that style of music, or that person looked at me funny. You know, whatever it is, sometimes we get mad and we go elsewhere. One more little story here, then we'll move on. About a man who was stranded on a desert island all alone, all by himself, stranded on this desert island. And he was finally rescued. His rescuers asked him about these three structures that they found on the island next to him. He's all by himself on this island. Three structures seemed a little bit much for this one guy. So they said, well, explain that to us. What are these three structures all about? And he said, well, this one's my house. That's where I live. This one's my church. That's where I worship. That one's where I used to go to church before they made me mad and I left. We don't do unity. We don't do unity very well. And, you know, this isn't a new thing. It's not a new thing. Paul talked about this in Ephesians. He wrote the church of Ephesus, this very imperfect church, nearly 2,000 years ago. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be. If you brought your Bibles or if you have it on your phone, whatever you want to use to open that up, Ephesians chapter 4. He writes this letter to the church at Ephesus and 2,000 years ago about maintaining unity in the church. He's writing this imperfect body because he sees what needs to be said. He says this in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. He says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle," he says. "Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." He goes on to say, "For there is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, who is in all, and who is living through all." And as you read through chapter 4, I believe that God expects us, not suggests to us, but God expects us meaning ECC, us meaning the place, us meaning every single church you passed this morning getting here, us meaning all Christians, God expects us to walk together in absolute unity. That we are to walk together in absolute unity, not for our glory, but for His. And we just read, unity isn't just possible, but it's a requirement. If we are to be everything that God asks us to be, if we are to be everything that God wants us to be as a church, not a church up on the hill and a church over at Eagles Landing, I'm talking about the church. If God wants us, if we're to be everything that God wants us to be as the church, we've got to start walking in unity. So this morning, I'm not going to take up a lot of your time. I prepared short because I thought, man, what if it's like 98 degrees out here? But pretty good weather this morning. This is pretty nice. But I still prepared. I'm not going to go long just because of that. So before I, what I want to do here this morning is I want to just quickly, I want to give us a couple of reasons why we're to be united. Or better yet, what unites us. What unites us? What is there out there that unites us together? You know, Mike and I, we met a while back, but just once. But we don't know each other, but what unites us? You know, I look at her out here, I know some people, I don't know everybody. What unites us? We're united, we should be united. What unites us? If we're supposed to be united as the body of Christ, what's the basis of that unity? Because we come from different backgrounds, we come from different cultural backgrounds, we come from different economic backgrounds, we come from different family backgrounds, different lifestyles. We're all different. Some of you, I'm guessing, probably even root for Purdue a little bit. What unites us together if we're so different? What unites us? And so Ephesians chapter 4 tells us about these two areas that every saved person under the shelter house, every saved person in the city of Ellettsville, Bloomington, Indiana, the world, these two areas that every saved person, hold in common. And so it's from these two areas that we find the ultimate source of Christian unity. So I just want to give these to you. If you're taking notes, if you want to take a note, I'll give you the outline right here. Number one is we share common ground. We share a common ground. Look at verse 4 again in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one God and Father of all." The night before Jesus was crucified, we find this in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for his disciples. Jesus knew this idea of unity was going to be an issue for all of us. Jesus knew this, so he's praying for his disciples. And in fact, like I said, John chapter 17, we read this prayer of Jesus, and he's got this concern of unity right front and center during this prayer. But throughout this prayer, he's praying for his disciples, Then he stops and he pauses, and he starts praying for you, and he starts praying for me. So John chapter 17, verse 20 is where I'm going to start. It says, "I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." That's us. Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me right here. "I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one," talking to God. "As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience, I want you to hear this verse, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. To make sure that we would achieve this unity, he first of all, he prays for us. He prays for us. But then in Ephesians chapter 4 here, God gave us six great possessions, we could call them, that every Christian here this morning shares together in him. Here they are. We have one body of Christ. We're demonstrating that a little bit here this morning. We have one body. We have one Spirit, Holy Spirit. We have one hope, that's heaven. We have one faith. We celebrate one baptism, and we're all children of one God. And if you notice, as I read that list, one body, one Spirit, one hope, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, there's nothing in this list about us. If you notice, when I read this list, the entire list I just read, if you notice, everything is about him. Everything is about him. We share a common ground. And when we start to put our own interests ahead of other things, when we start to live our lives and our desires and our wills, our interests stop being about him, then we're going down the wrong path. So as believers, we may come from lots of different places, even two different churches that may do communion. We don't do this communion all the time, but do communion differently. We don't always do the peel and whatever. But we do things differently, I'm sure. Two different churches, two different backgrounds, but we all share common ground. And number two, we share a common grace. Romans 3:23, if you remember that verse, and it reminds us that we all have at least one thing that we can unite on, and that's that we're just a bunch of mess ups. That we've all failed. Romans 3:23, if you're not familiar with that verse, says that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's here that we're reminded that we're just a bunch of losers, really. We're a bunch. We failed, and we're backs up against the walls. And if there's one thing that should humble us and unite us, it's the fact that every one of us have failed. We're all sinners. We're backs against the walls. We're losers. We're having a hard time out of here because we can't do a whole lot of things right without him. Let me segue that, losers, into this. Do you remember the Buffalo Bills of the 1990s? Now, I knew Randy, I knew you would be here, and I'm sorry. Randy's from Buffalo. Can I tell you, I used to really like the Buffalo Bills. That's when I started watching football, and I thought, man, this is a really good team. I was watching ESPN yesterday, and they had the 30 for 30 on about the Buffalo Bills, and such a neat story about the Buffalo Bills. But if you don't know the story of Buffalo Bills, they're an NFL football team. They did something that nobody's ever done, probably never will do again. They went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, sorry, Randy, nobody's on board with you. And Randy, you want to tell everybody how many of those Super Bowls they won? Zero. They won zero. They won zero of those Super Bowls. And really, they became kind of this. They're not. I never thought of them as a laughing stock because who gets to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row? But they became. The people started making fun of them because they couldn't win the game. But I found myself watching this ESPN documentary about these teams, these 4 years, and something struck me. The first year that they lost the Super Bowl, they were right there in it, and it came down to the kicker. Sorry, Randy. Randy's having a hard time. It came down to the kicker. Scott Norwood was his name. Pretty good kicker. And he kicks the field goal to win the game, and it went wide right. Lost the game. Now, you would think that maybe the city of Buffalo would ran that guy out of town. You had a chance to win the Super Bowl, and you missed it. You would think that they would villainize this guy. You'd think this guy would be the most hated man in all of Buffalo. But I'm watching this on ESPN yesterday, and when the team got back to Buffalo that next week, there were 30,000 fans outside City Hall waiting on them. And they brought them out there on the steps of City Hall, and they're all cheering and yelling for them because they supported their team. They realized that we lost together, that we're all in this together. But even above that, the most, I would think, one of the most hated men in Buffalo right now, instead, they're cheering, "We want Scott. We want Scott." And they brought him to the podium, and he had to give a speech before they'd be quiet. They were cheering him on. And so here's this full city full of fans, and they were backs against the wall. They I hate to use the term losers, but, you know, when you're talking sports and people, but, you know, just, we're all sinners. We've all failed. Here's this team. They've failed, and it was their backs were against their wall, and their team losing, though, the fans realized their team losing meant they lost. They weren't pointing fingers and saying, "You messed up, and you messed up, and you messed up." They were saying, "We're in this together." Romans 3:23 says, "We're in this together. We share a common grace," because in John 3:16, we learn this verse as children. It's one of the verses that my six-year-old, now I was going to say five-year-old, he turned six this week, but my six-year-old can recite all day long. John 3:16, you want to say it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I'm sure we mixed about five versions in there, but that's okay. We're sinners, and we're all saved by that grace. We're sinners, we're all in this together, and we share that grace. We share a common grace, and it's through that common grace that we are to be united. It's not pointing fingers and saying, "You messed up, and you messed up, and you messed up." It's through that common grace that we should be united. Jesus' prayer from earlier, Jesus even prayed that we would be so united that the world would look at us, and they would know that God sent us, and that they would know that God loves us, and that the world would see the love of God through our unity. We share common ground, and we share common grace, and I think that united as one, we can make an impact on this community that hasn't been seen. I grew up, I'm going to close with this. I grew up watching the Charlie Brown holiday specials. You guys watch those? Can't get my kids to watch them because if it's not Power Rangers or Star Wars, they don't want to watch. So maybe Star Wars needs to make a holiday special, I guess. I don't know. But growing up, I watched those Charlie Brown specials, but I had to go back and look for this Peanuts cartoon. Charlie Brown's came from the comic strip, the Peanuts comic strip. I had to look for this cartoon this week. And it goes exactly with what I'm talking about here. There's this comic where Lucy, she came in, she demanded that Linus change the TV station so that she gets to watch what she wanted to watch. And Linus says, "Well, what makes you think that you could just walk right in here and take over?" Now, Lucy, I forgot to tell you, Lucy came in with her fist like this at him. And he says, "What makes you think you can walk in here and just take over?" And she said, "These five fingers." She says, "Individually, they're nothing. But when I begin to curl them together into a single unit," she says, "they become a weapon that is terrible to behold." And so Linus immediately says, "Well, what channel do you want?" So walking away, he looks at his hand and he says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" This afternoon, we're taking a big step towards that organization. Because together, we're nothing. We're nothing apart from each other. But this afternoon, we're gonna come back in here this afternoon. We're going to give back to the community. We're going to bless the community with backpacks and school supplies and food and all this stuff. And we're going to take that step towards curling together into a single unit. We're going to become unified, and we're going to come back tonight, and we're going to bless the community together. Because apart, we're nothing. And together, according to the scripture here, we're unstoppable. We share common ground. We share common grace. Because of that, God wants us to unite as one. Not just today, but not just these two churches. But because of a shared grace and a common ground, God wants us to unite as one. Let's pray together. God, we do pray for that unity. Whatever that looks like going forward, God, that this wouldn't just be a fun theme for the day, but that, God, we would come together and we would serve you together, that we would impact this community together as one single unit, that we would curl together into one so that we could make an impact on this city and this area. So, God, we pray for this afternoon. We pray that we can impact those who come, that we can engage with those who come, that those who don't know you would see that we are unified. And because of that unity, they would see you and they would see your love. and their lives will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.